This is Everett, producer of The Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose. Oh, man, he has been busy. But there's a lot going on, and there's a lot to say. On August 20th, 2021, Pastor Rob McCoy of Godspeak Calvary Chapel in Newberry Park, California, that's in the Los Angeles area, invited a small panel, including Dr. Rose, to speak to a group of heroes. Firefighters. Now we're going to bring you the doctor's segment of this event because California is about to enact a vaccine mandate for the employees of the city of Los Angeles. And the Firefighters Against Tyranny event opened the floor to Dr. Rose to allow him to deliver the truth and a hopeful message. Now this message was for first responders, but hey, we can all use some truth, right?
The Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose.
Cutting down to the truth through history and experience. The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bone's Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge. Email kfr@scalpeledge.com or the website scalpeledge.com.
The next episode of The Scalpel starts now.
Because no one would prescribe them here. And I thought, what in the world is going on? Why is this? And Dr. Keith has been with us since January 2020. I went to Mar-a-Lago, met the president when I was with Keith. He's worked for the intelligence community. I'll leave it at that. I will share with you that he is currently working diligently to get American citizens out of Afghanistan, and I can't tell you any more than that. And when I say something like that, I just want you to know that's not just, you know, he's making a couple, no, serious things are happening. This man is uniquely gifted and positioned, and all of the information and intelligence that we've received from day one has all come to fruition. He is a wonderful husband and father. I've had the privilege to call him friend. He is one of the most generous human beings I've ever met. He has cared for my family. He has blessed me beyond measure. And he's humbly brilliant. And every time you give him a compliment, he just dismisses it. And I understand that. But he is a voracious reader. And he processes data and goes through these things. All the stuff that you're gonna hear, he has read through copious amounts of material to process it and breaks it down into layman's terms, which is a way that I understand it because I like to call it idiot-proof. He's idiot-proofed it for me, and I'm so thankful for that. You will be blessed by this man. Please welcome my dear friend, Dr. Keith Rose.
You're funny.
Thanks.
I'll try to be brief. I know you guys heard Simone. Simone is one of the true heroes and brave folks. She has caught a lot of flack. Sorry. I haven't slept much in the past 4 days. She's doing an amazing job. And everything she told you is true. I'd like to just tie a bow on it. You guys are first responders. I understand that. I have a company that employs first responders. We have ERT teams around the country. I used to teach at the International School of Tactical Medicine here in California. I probably have 1,000 post hours for you police officers out there. We taught the high-speed teams in the government tactical medicine, and I am a plastic surgeon, but I also did a fellowship in burns and critical care, and I've published a lot on burns. We did a lot of cutting-edge research back when I worked at the Shriners. So I understand what you guys go through. You guys are the guys that run to the burning buildings, that you risk all, and it's a calculated risk. You want to have the best equipment, you want to have the right training, and then you do it. I'm an older guy, all right? I've been around a while. I spent the past, 15 years overseas. And then in 2012, about the time Benghazi got stupid, we all came home and we decided to live in this country. And it's not the same country anymore. But I have a lot of experience with dealing with authoritarian governments, dealing with what we call color revolutions. And it's not a conspiracy theory. I heard Simone say that. Do you guys know where conspiracy theory comes from? The agency made that up to throw people off during the Kennedy assassination. That's where it was first coined. It was a psyop coined by the intelligence services. And what you're seeing right now in the United States of America is nothing short of what we call a color revolution. The closest example I can give you is, does everyone remember Egypt back when President Obama was in and they overthrew the government early in his administration? And they were just clamping down on the people until one day 30 million people went to the street and said, yeah, we're not going to do this anymore. And it stopped. They did it because they recognized they didn't want to live like that. Now, I can tell you what Simone tells you. Everything she's saying is true. We have, I'll boil it down to simplistic words. We have a bunch of deviants pushing variants. And they're not going to stop. She's 100% correct about vaccines came out, cases spiked. Well, I can tell you even more detail. When the vaccines came out, we started seeing a lot of the variants. And we said, wait, these variants are tied to the vaccines. And the powers that be said, no, those variants were coming out before we started vaccinating these large populations in these specific areas. I'll just use India. Well, that's true and it's not true. Because 2 months before, they were in phase three of the vaccine trials. And if you look at a map on phase three of all the vaccine trials, none of the variants started before they started the vaccine trials. So the science is clear. When they say follow the science, they're telling you to follow Dr. Fauci. First, you have to look down because the dude's super short. And he's a real D-bag. I'm being nice. He was like that during AIDS. I used to work in Africa, and the big joke in the 80s when we're working in Africa was, if you get positive for AIDS in Africa, just come to the U.S., get a test, you'll be negative, because the PCR cycle count in Africa was double what it was in the U.S. You might say, why is that? Does anyone remember billions of dollars going to Africa for AIDS? I hate to pop anyone's bubble here, but it's about the money. There's a problem with that, though. It's about the money, but it's also about the deviants pushing the variants, because the vaccine is not safe. I won't get into what Simone told you. I'm going to tell you it's not safe, and guess what? You're first responders. You have a responsibility to run into a fire. You don't have a responsibility to throw your patient into the fire. They want you to take the vaccine. They want the military, which, can I say, pisses off and church. It pisses me off to no end because it's dangerous, because people should know better. In 1999, a book was written called Unrestricted Warfare. It was written by two Air Force colonels in the Chinese army, and they spelled out how they would take down a nation state without firing a shot. You can look it up. When I entered the intelligence services, we had to study it. It's a long time ago. And when you look at this book, they talk about, and see if this sounds familiar, they say, first, you have to build up a robust investment wing and buy investment companies that buy up stock in major media corporations so you can control the narrative in the country that you're going after. The next thing you do is you buy up companies that would support high-end sports figures and celebrities, so you can control the culture or the pop culture. It's 1999. Third, they had several different ways to take down the country, but one of the most prolific they talked about, and this is discussing, it's on page 82, I think, still, is they would use biological warfare. They wrote it in a book. Now, fast forward. You know what the message, I'm sure you told them what the vaccine was. I just landed and we came straight here. I didn't wear a mask. And I don't wear a mask, ever. But I'm not brave, I have a plane. It's just, I mean, I won't fly commercial because I can't wear a mask. But, so when we got here, and I'm not sure what you said, the messenger RNA vaccine is just a strand of messenger RNA. It's not a vaccine. Not my words, the people that make it. In fact, the manufacturers from Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson will tell you, this does not prevent acquisition or transmission. Okay, but that's kind of the definition of a vaccine. I've been vaccinated. I was vaccinated for smallpox. I was lucky in first Gulf War I got out of the anthrax. I mean, if guys got sick from that one. But I've had vaccines. Vaccine is an attenuated virus, which, and I'm not that smart, so I have to speak in real simple terms. You put a dead piece of bad stuff inside your bloodstream, and your body makes antibodies to it. But a messenger RNA vaccine is a messenger RNA sequence. Now, your body takes it up in your bloodstream, and your cells go, there's some computer code. I'll pull it into my cell. And then your cells make this thing that looks like, you know, the old Nazi helmets with the spike on them from World War I or the German helmets. It makes a spike protein. Your blood cells produce that, and that's supposed to trigger your antibodies. It sounds good in theory, not so good in reality. It's not novel. They tried it in the 90s. A small diminutive physician by the name of Dr. Anthony Fauci thought that it would be an awesome vaccine for HIV. Do your research. The LGBT community hated that man because he pushed off AZT and things that would have actually worked for a messenger RNA vaccine that didn't work. And listen to this, no one remembers this, but he said HIV would be spread through everyone. It wasn't confined to a specific group. You could even get it through the air. It caused a lot of fear. He was trying to push a vaccine that didn't work, and I don't know, maybe it's happening again. The difference is they had the media, just like in unrestricted warfare. But this little messenger RNA strip, you know where they got it from? Now, they were working on these vaccines, and you can go to the World Health Organization, and full disclosure, I was badged by the World Health. Theoretically, I might have used them to go to some countries that I needed to get into. And the World Health Organization, when you do a trial that's going to involve people, you have to file under their clinical trials registry. Does anyone know when the first SARS-CoV vaccine was filed under the clinical trials registry at the World Health Organization? I pointed this out 2 months ago, and I think it's been taken down. It was 2011. It was updated in 2013. Interesting thing, when they updated it for a recombinant vaccine against the Delta, and they had a little TM next to it for trademark spike protein. It's 2013. And they perfected it and re-registered it in 2019, February. And the people that registered, you have to put the underlying agency. This is people all over the world, was the NIADH. It's Fauci's group. This is not conspiracy theory. It's just the truth. So you have a vaccine, so where did they get that? They didn't get it from virus. They didn't look at the virus and say, this is it. They got it from a lady by Dr. Xing Li. We call her Bat Lady. Not the good-looking, cool Bat Girl, Bat Lady. And she worked with a couple scientists, two or three. I'm not going to bore you with names because I would shred the names. You know, Dumb Tuck Dong or whatever you call them. These guys, brilliant scientists, also officers in the PLA, the Chinese Army. In fact, three of them that worked on this messenger RNA were in the bioweapons division of the Chinese Army. This is not a secret. So think about this. You're injecting yourself with I'm just going to use something we all understand, computer code that's to go into your cells, developed in China by the weapons experts. And we know without doubt that it doesn't prevent anything. we know unequivocally it's caused a lot of problems. You know, silly things like more deaths than all other vaccines combined, actual vaccines. What Simone said is so true. You don't, most vaccines, a minimum of 10 to 20 years before they're done. It's not because the guys are lazy and big fat guys like in the Joint Chiefs of Staff. It's just because it takes a while to develop a vaccine. You have to do safety trials. I've published 15 plus papers in peer-reviewed journals. And when we published papers back when people believed in science, you get ripped. You have to present it. You have to go to an institutional review board. You get peer review. And then you get to present it to a bunch of eggheads that live to tell you how wrong you are. I mean, you go to these meetings. I used to go to the burn meetings and do it. And what I'm saying is they haven't done that for this. They haven't done anything. They said, you have to take the vaccine. Based off that information from unrestricted warfare, and based off we know who designed this, I'm not saying it's probable, but it's dang sure possible that the vaccine could be the weapon. One of those doctors wrote a paper in 2015 using cats, and they vaccinated cats, these Chinese scientists, and then they vaccinated them, and they had developed a virus that once they gave the cats that were vaccinated for this virus, it wiped out the cats, but no other viruses did. It was a trigger. Not my words, just on the research paper. So when I look at this and I think about what we do in intelligence, we go into countries and do this. We go into countries and we do it for the good, or we say we do it for the good. So why are they doing what we call an information operation or covert action on our nation right now? There's a lot of reasons why. I could tell you what I think, but the important thing is it's happening. So how do you beat it? You know, when I go into an area and I'm trying to recruit assets, I feed their dreams and I starve their fears. So why do we have a country that's feeding our fears and starving our dreams? And more importantly, why are we letting them do it? It's not immoral to be frustrated, but it is immoral not to act. The vaccine is dangerous. There is no precedent in medical history. There is no current science that supports it. There is no reason for it. Yet we're pushing it on our nation. And if you look at Australia and you look at Canada and we all go, I can't believe that's happening. Well, we're next. And you guys are the front line. You guys are the front guard. You guys are running the burning buildings. And I'm going to tell you, the way you run in this burning building is you say no in mass. That's how you beat it. I have a lot of dear friends that are stuck in the city of Kabul right now. And we're working to get them all out. We're working to help our dysfunctional leadership, because I do not believe that flag officers should be encased in fat making decisions. It just doesn't make sense. They should know what they're doing. But if you served, you understand what I'm saying. But people are throwing babies over the razor wire, hoping their kids have a chance at a better life. If you saw the pictures of the C-17 with all the Afghans that were in there, the story behind that is they all just bum rushed the plane, and the crew chief and the pilot decided it's too much of a hassle to get them out, so they just closed the doors and flew them out. They didn't require vaccine status. They didn't make them wear masks. In fact, I worked at a lot of hospitals in Kabul. I helped set up one. I'm not going to say that because I don't want to put it on anyone's target list. And I talk to the doctors every day. Do you know the problem they're having with coronavirus? Yeah, they're not. They had a rash of coronavirus like any virus. People got immunity, the old sick people died, and they don't worry about it. I mean, our government is flying people crammed in like sardines without masks, but they won't let you fly without a mask. And they're governing by proxy. They're governing by something we call, it's a good analogy, is something called Hobson's choice. You can look it up. Hobson's choice, in essence, is when you have a free choice to choose something, but it's really not a free choice. You know, you have a right to work and do your job as long as you get vaccinated. They say you have a right to do what you want as long as you get the corporations tell you no. Now, I own companies. By God's grace, I own some big companies. And I mean, they're not huge, but I have a couple hundred employees around this country. And my employees are key to me. I don't pay people to work, I pay them to solve problems. You guys are the problem solvers for your city. If all of you guys say, we're not vaccinating, trust me, the powers that be won't have any foot to stand on. Because one thing people that get in bureaucracies and leaderships can't have is a problem that they cause that they can't blame on someone else. Because they don't get paid to solve problems. They get paid to create problems that can't be solved so they can request more money to solve the insolvable problem, right? But you guys solve problems. So if you in mass say, you know what, we're not doing that, we respectfully decline. Trust me, they can't stop you. And look, I don't have a governor, okay? I'm going to tell you what I think. My wife will tell you that. My kids will tell you that. But I speak the truth. The liberals, there's some good Democrats that don't know it yet, but they're really conservative. There's people out there, they have talking points. You have truth points. The truth points on the vaccine are, according to Dr. Peter McCullough and other famous, really smart doctors that have risked their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor. Dr. Peter McCullough's in Texas. He's the editor of the Cardiology Journal. He's a professor at A&M University School of Medicine. He's on editorial staffs of multiple journals, and he's come out and said, if you've had coronavirus and got better, you have immunity. It's durable. It lasts. You know why? Because that's the way our bodies are made. It's the way God made us. It's amazing like that. We don't all die. Second of all, the vaccine, he says, is not a vaccine. It doesn't work, and it's dangerous. That's why just the other day, Moderna put out, oops. I mean, they put out an oops thing, like maybe more people are dying than they should. Let me tell you, when the swine flu came out, 53 people died from the vaccine. They stopped it immediately. You're 12,000 plus, and they're telling you, we're pushing it. The way you stop tyranny is everybody stands up and says no, because these people are cowards, and they'll go as long as you let them go. I love first responders, because ladies and men, they're the sheepdogs. They're the tough folks. A lot of you guys probably served. Policemen, it's not an easy job. It's not an easy job to stop someone on a traffic stop. You don't know what you're going to see, but you do it because you have a mission to do it. You all have a mission, not just to run into a fiery building, but to keep this nation from becoming a fiery building, because that's where we're headed. It's not in our DNA to bend the knee. It's just not. Now, it doesn't mean we're crazy. It doesn't mean we're insurrectionists. Don't get me started on January 6th. What it means is we can do a truth. We see a truth. We know that the virus is treatable with early therapeutics. You know how I know that? Journal of Virology. It's Dr. Fauci's group's journal that said in 2005, chloroquine was effective both as treatment and as preventative, you know, act like kind of a vaccine. Hydroxychloroquine, does anyone understand why the slums of Mumbai don't have, you know, bodies stacked up in the stadiums? The intelligence services did a survey. They did a what we call geospatial. When it first came out, they were tasked, I have some friends that worked there, they were tasked and they said, put some keyholes over the large population centers. We do this after major disasters or big, you know, potential disease outbreaks. Because what we're looking for are morgues. They usually use soccer stadiums in third world countries, and you'll see the bodies stack up. You'll see the tents. You'll see something that wasn't there the day before. We never saw it. Now, India did have a problem in one place where the government stopped letting them take what they usually take for medicine. The reason they didn't have it really bad in Mumbai initially is because everyone was on hydroxychloroquine because of malaria. It's 10 cents over the counter. It was like that across. Does anyone hear these mass pandemics in Africa? Yeah, me either. You see, It's bad, it's just not really bad. And it's treatable. Is it man-made? I can tell you unquestionably. I've seen the sequence. It has a peace shuttle in it. That's made in the lab. Doesn't come when a bat looks at a monkey and says, hey, you're hot. That's not how it happens. So, I mean, the chances of this having a zoonotic jump is retarded. And I'm just blowing it, but I don't care. It didn't happen. And any true scientist, any real doctor will tell you it's not a zoonotic jump. But they laid the foundation through a group called EcoHealth Alliance and a guy named Peter Daszak, who belongs in isolation in a padded cell, or we could send him to the Taliban for all of our people. So don't buy the lie. Be empowered. Be empowered, and here's the thing. You don't have to get even emotional about it. I don't get emotional. I just say no. I have a house up in Montana. I was snowboarding and whitefish, and it's a driving snowstorm last year, and people were screaming at me, you're not wearing a mask. And I'm like, you're an idiot. I didn't say that, but I was thinking it. And they were like, well, do it for us. That's a straw man argument. I could have had Ebola. They're not going to catch it in a driving snowstorm. Asymptomatic transfer, not a thing. You got to produce virus. That's why the study in April of 2020 that looked at masks, they did controls in that study in Nature magazine, and they had influenza, rhinovirus, and COVID-19, and they had the controls with active disease cough into a machine that measured the viral load. And then they did it with masks, and you know, masks don't work. But what the interesting thing was, we looked at the controls. The person that coughed in the machine with COVID-19 had to cough 4 times longer than the other two to produce enough virus that we would call enough viral load to call an infection. Again, why are we masking? Well, if you cough into a mask enough and touch it, you got enough viral load there to hand your change. Now, if you look at and you're talking to your friends, say, well, why do they fly airplanes if it's so dangerous? Why did Sam's, Walmart, Costco never shut down if it's just so bad? Why did they tell you you can't work, you have to mask your children? Why did they tell you you have to get a vaccine that's not only experimental, it's dangerous? They can't if you all say no. It just, and start a move right here. Look, you're in the middle of, you know, gosh, I don't like your governor. He doesn't like me either. So we're cool like that. And Mussolini, he's gonna tell you what he wants to do. Hat tip, Pastor Rob taught me that one. You don't have to do it. If your companies tell you you have to do it, what you do is you get your management teams together, you get everyone, you walk in and say, yeah, we're not doing it. You wanna fire us all? We can leave now. See, they have things called contracts. They have to produce on those contracts. Lawyers will tell you that they have penalties if they don't said produce on those contracts, and they also have something they call liability. So if you all walk out, someone has a heart attack, not good for them. And I'm going to tell you something else, and this may be controversial. I'm really going to stay up at night worrying about it. If a doctor sees a patient and sends them home and says, come back when you're having trouble breathing, sue that doctor. Sue them into the ground. They don't have immunity. They're not a vaccine company. I called a pharmacist here in California the other day, and I ordered hydroxychloroquine for a patient, or ivermectin, one of them. And they said, I'm sorry, we can't do that. And I said, that's fine. Can you please spell me your name and give me your employee ID number, and I need X, Y, and Z, just so I can put it in the chart here. So in case this patient has an adverse event and the family sues, they can come to get my electronic medical record and realize, since all the studies now show that this works, that you were the one that said no, not their doctor. I'm just covering myself. Yes. And they're like, would you like 10 or 15? You have to stand up. CVS has already put on a thing saying, we won't do this. But they do in my city and around Texas when doctors say, yeah, I just need your name to put in the electronic medical record. So when the family gets it in discovery while they're suing you, they can't sue the vaccine maker, they can't sue the government, but they can sue you. I'm not pursuing people. I've never been in a lawsuit, knock on wood, 22 years. But it's immoral for a doctor to send someone home and not offer them, because the information's out there. It would be like you going to a fire and going, yeah, we're not going to use anything to put this fire out. It'll put itself out. Or telling the people, call us back when your house is smoking and we'll come pull you out of the rubble. I mean, it's equivalent for a doctor. It's treatable. It's that black and white. So in closing, just be that person that says no. Be that person that tells your boss no. Be that person that tells your district attorney no, your sheriff no, if they're not on board. But most sheriffs are. Be that person that tells your county judge no. Be that person that tells your governor no. You can be that person that tells our president no. He won't remember it, but you can tell him. And if you stand, it's moral, it's the right thing to do. We're evacuating people now because we did something immoral. We didn't do the right thing in the face of good information. And it's 2,000 miles away. Hopefully we'll get it done. But these people were literally rushing planes, holding on to them and falling out of the sky because they wanted to come to a place where they could be free. I mean, everyone worked with the coalition now, if you want to know how complicated this is, because they all want to be free. If we don't do this here, we're not going to be able to grab onto a plane to go to a place to be free. There won't be one. And it's a generational fight. I'm sorry. If you guys think, man, it'll go away in a season, it's not. But if you crush it now and you stand up and you fight now, your kids won't have to. And I'm not talking about a kinetic bloody fight. I pray to God that never happens. I've been in a lot of war. And there's nothing good about it, nothing. Policemen, firemen will tell you there's nothing great about mass violence. You can prevent mass violence with mass truth, but you can't say it's the other guy's fault. So if you start something in California, and you guys are kind of known for your earthquakes, maybe it'll shake up the entire United States and motivate people. And it just takes one voice, so do it.
Protest line, freedom scribbled on your sign. Headline, New York Times, standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey your secret safe with the NSA. And God we trust, or the CIA, standing on the edge of a revolution.
Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose.
The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bones Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge, email kfr@scalpeledge.com, or the website scalpeledge.com.